It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk about the art of communication during extreme weather events.
First, the state legislature's budget committee voted last night to reject Governor Walker's proposed cuts to income and sales taxes. The governor had proposed a $200 million income tax cut and a $22 million back-to-school sales tax holiday. The committee also rejected the governor's proposal to increase the earned income tax credit.
Todd Berry is the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and he joins us for analysis on last night's action on taxes. Todd, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Before we dig into the specific taxes, Todd, big picture, what do you make of what came out of joint finance?
Yeah, a couple impressions. I guess the biggest is when you look at how they generated revenue, it was mainly by getting rid of that income tax cut and the sales tax holiday, which, by the way, I don't think hardly anybody in tax policy work has much regard for a sales tax holiday. They don't work. But that generates a couple hundred million dollars over the biennium. And when you look at what they did, they have gotten rid of the state property tax. It's a small one. They have begun the process, which has been going on for 150 years, of killing off the personal property tax. And they also did something quite curious that had the effect of increasing the lottery property tax credit. So I guess the theme would be state general fund tax cuts out, various kinds of property tax cuts in.
And let's talk about those property tax cuts. And I think when people hear ending kinds of property tax, that doesn't mean people aren't going to be paying property tax next year. The school-related property taxes, they're all still there, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's just that, we pay about gross over $10 billion of property taxes a year. So when we talk about $80 million here or $40 million there, I mean, it's worth keeping in some context as well.
But that one that was cut, the personal property tax, that relates to small business. Can you talk about what changes in this budget and what kind of impact that would have?
Yeah, well, the personal property tax is all that's left of a property tax that used to apply to all our furnishings, livestock, vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. And over many years, the legislature has been continuing to exempt parts of that. And what's left is sort of some cats and dogs that are mainly business personal property. They have not entirely gotten rid of this tax. They're only going after one part of it, which has to do with manufacturing tools and patterns and some language like that.
And then moving on to income tax, the governor proposed a $200 million income tax cut. Republican State Senator Alberta Darling of River Hills, who's a co-chair of the Budget Committee, said, "We didn't want to do it. It wasn't a big enough tax cut to, I guess, waste our time on, it sounds like." John Nygren, other co-chair, said it didn't give the best bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
So how would this income tax cut have worked?
Yeah, well, it was just a reduction in bottom tax rates in the income tax. So it would have some benefit to everybody that paid income tax. But again, it was, as the legislator suggested, it was a pretty small tax cut. And when you have a $250 billion to $300 billion state economy, $100 million a year is not going to move the needle. I'm not saying people wouldn't appreciate it, but they're also going to see some benefits on some of their property tax bills, too. So it's, pick your preferred tax relief.
And then the Budget Committee also rejected a proposal from the governor to increase the earned income tax credit. First of all, can you tell us what the earned income tax credit is and how it works?
Yeah, it was originally a federal program, and actually its roots are more Republican, going back to Reagan and Ford at the federal level, that provided refundable tax credits to the working poor, to people that were working and earning money but having trouble getting out of poverty. And the Wisconsin Earned Income Tax Credit was piggybacked on that federal credit and historically was even more generous to families with children. Back in, I believe, his first budget, the governor scaled back to some degree that earned income tax credit, particularly on larger families. And it appeared what he was doing with his proposal was sort of trying to backtrack a bit and essentially give back some of the cut that he had executed before. You know, why the legislature did what it did, again, I think at the bottom line is they're dealing with a budget that was very narrowly balanced. They've got a lot of other needs, schools, university, property tax cuts, and they were trying to generate cash. And this is one of the places they got it.
Talking to Todd Berry from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance about tax-related action in the state budget from the Joint Finance Committee yesterday. Both of the things we just talked about, earned income tax credit and those income tax cuts, as you said, focused on lower incomes, they were things that target lower income earners. There's a case people make that that's the best kind of tax cut. Those are people who will get that money and then spend it right away as opposed to saving it. The other argument is, no, focus on the businesses. They'll invest it, create jobs for those low-income people. How does this all stack up in this budget?
Well, and that you've captured the ongoing debate. The income tax cut, although it cut the bottom rates, benefited all taxpayers, I should say. So it wasn't targeted at low-income payers the way the earned income tax credit was. And, you know, for your typical working middle-class family, you can put on the balance, would you rather have more of a lottery property tax credit to benefit homeowners and not have to pay one of the property taxes that has historically been on your bill, the state forestry tax, or did you want the income tax cut? I think the legislature felt that by ending one property tax and moving down the path toward eliminating another, that they were doing something more concrete than merely doing a sales tax holiday, which was a one-time thing that, again, most people don't think is effective. And, you know, an income tax cut that was relatively small.
You've seen a lot of budgets come and go, Todd. This one was a couple months late, even though there's one party in control. Does that have consequences on what comes out in the end of the budget?
Well, you know, as I go through these motions, I am really struck by the number of very small, narrow provisions, tiny little sales tax exemptions, little tweaks in statute. And I can't help but think that the time delay gave local governments that wanted law changes, lobbyists that wanted law changes, state agency lobbyists that wanted law changes, everybody a bit of a chance to identify either what they didn't like in the budget or something they wanted change in state law, and it gave them time to get those items in. You're really struck by it in the tax area, you know, the big piece, the sales tax and the income tax changes, and then there are just a slew of very small tweaks of sales tax exemptions for beekeepers and fish sales and on and on.
Yeah, that talk about the process there. I mean, does it happen that a beekeeper talks to their neighbor, the lawmaker, and that makes it? How does that end up in there?
It could very well be. And by the way, I should disclose that I am the father of a beekeeper. when you have several months when the legislature really isn't doing much and lawmakers are sort of on vacation and home, it gives local constituents, local government officials, lobbyists, everybody more time to make contact with their lawmaker. And they don't always get this opportunity when the governor's budget comes out and it's, you know, it's on a fairly fast track and it's approved by the Finance Committee in May and it becomes law, you know, passed in June, and it's done. That's not all bad, because if there were bad things in the budget, they probably got vetted more, too.
And Todd, before we wrap up, looming over this budget process is this whole Foxconn thing, the big electronics manufacturer looking to open the plant here in Wisconsin, tax credits, this and that. How did that, or what is that, what do you think about when you look at that in the future?
Yeah, well, this budget doesn't get to Foxconn directly. There's another bill that will be considered at almost the same time. And I haven't seen the final budget numbers in terms of how the numbers work out. But the legislature says that it increased the state's ending balance, its savings. And what that tells me is they know what's coming, which is potentially some expenditures related to refundable tax credits to Foxconn, and they were trying to sock away a little money to lessen the hit from that.
We'll leave it there for now. Todd, thanks for being with us again today.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He joined us for analysis on tax cuts passed and not passed by the Budget Committee last night.
Coming up, our guest meteorologist from the Weather Channel says communication matters in the era of climate change. Stay with us here on Central Time.